this on before I forget this. All right. All right, well, we're glad to be here. I appreciate y'all. You can all be seated. I forget that sometimes, leave everybody standing. I've been known to do that. Pray for us. What have I done? Oh, okay. Thank you, Brother Jacob. All right, we've been knowing Brother Shepherd and his wife for quite a few years now, and I really love Brother Shepherd and his wife. I like the spirit. I like his preaching. And I appreciate him having us here. And we're going to try to get him up to our place when we get our church built. We're building a building, and we're in the midst of it. And there's not too many of us. We're doing it all ourselves. And the Lord's provided for us so we don't have to borrow any money. And so it's been a slow go for us. But they're going to put the roof on this week, Lord willing, while I'm gone. So that's a good thing, because I don't like being on the roof and getting too old for that stuff. But anyway, appreciate your prayers for us up there. And traveling, some of us, some of my family's going to be going to Virginia this week too for the funeral, so yes. Pray for all that. Anyway, there's a preacher, if God's called him, he loves the people,
yes,
and he's concerned about them. And I've felt this way for years about this, and I've told a lot of others this, if the people are convinced that the pastor loves them, he can just skin them up and down,
yes, sir,
and they'll take it.
Yes, sir.
If he does it in love.
Right.
And he has to sometimes.
Sure.
Not all the time.
Right.
You don't want to be skinned every time you come to church, do you? I had a lady one time tell me, "Boy, I don't like this. We're supposed to go away from church feeling good." And I said, "Well, not always." But it's out of love and concern for you. If he don't love you and have a real concern for your soul, he really can't preach to you.
That's right.
He really can't do you much good, really.
Yep.
And there's things that concern me in the day we're living in. I've preached to a lot of my family and others that are in the church, but I watch, and we're living in the time when Jesus said the greatest danger is going to be being deceived.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be in that great danger.
Yes, sir.
And I watch people, and who's going to deceive you? Well, the devil's going to deceive you, but he's going to do it through all the means he's got around you, the world around
right.
us.
Right.
And, if I watch the people and I see them looking like the world, then I know they're listening to the world.
Right.
And I know they're either already deceived or they're in grave danger of being deceived.
That's right.
About their soul.
Yep.
About their standing before God. And so let's start out here this morning. Let's read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. Now we could turn to several places where Jesus warned. Every time they ask him, when are you coming? What's going to be the sign of your coming? The last days? He always told them the same thing, the first thing he told them. And as Matthew 24, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So, that's just one instance. Now, if you start looking, the whole New Testament's full of that warning. In the epistles, as well as the Gospels, we're warned and warned that what we're going to be in danger of in these last days before Jesus comes is we're going to believe lies.
Right.
And we're going to refuse to believe the truth.
That's right.
They're going to turn their ears away from hearing the truth.
Yep.
That's going to be the common thing that happens in the churches, as well as in the world around
yep.
us. And so, and then in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, Daniel warned this too. He said it was the last days he's talking about. He said, knowledge, many shall run to and fro. How many of you are running to and fro?
Yeah.
I think all of us are.
Right.
That's what we were talking about the other day. How in the world did we work so many more hours than years ago? Got a lot more done and weren't near as busy as we are now.
Right.
How is that? Many shall run to and fro. And knowledge shall increase at the same time that deception does, you see.
Right.
The same time that deception increases, knowledge is increasing.
Yep.
Well, don't y'all see that?
Yes.
What's everybody doing all the time? Googling. They're looking all over. There's information available on anything that you can imagine about.
Yes,
and everybody is lapping it up. Just as fast as they can. That's all everybody does, is learning something new.
Yep.
Like the people at Athens, those pagans, you know, they spent their time in nothing else but to hear something new.
Right.
And that's what we're doing now with the internet.
Right.
You know, everybody's just plugged in. And we can gripe about it and complain about it, but it's not going to stop.
Right.
People are going to keep doing it. And if you don't do it, there's a dozen people around you in your family and at church and everywhere else are going to tell you everything they learned on the internet. So we got to do something. We got to do something. We got to sound a warning about being deceived.
Amen.
So that's what's going to be happening in the last times here. According to Jesus, in the last days, before he comes back, people will be deceived about their condition and their standing with God.
Yep.
Oh, there's a lot of people. They think they're all right, and they're not all right.
Right.
They're resting in just a profession. They're resting in something that they identify as, but they're really not.
Right.
I was thinking about it the other day, and you saw a lot about transgender stuff and all of that. You know, it's amazing that so many people in the church rightly recognize that as insanity, because it's pretending to be something you're really not.
Right.
But there's probably people in this room right now pretending to be a Christian, yep, and you're not.
Yep.
All the evidence is against you.
Yep.
And yet you still believe.
Yeah.
You know, if you were tried in a court, like somebody said years ago, and all the evidence was presented, you were accused of being a Christian, and the evidence was presented, would you be convicted or not?
Right.
Not enough evidence to convict most people of being a Christian. But deceive, it means to mislead the mind and to cause to err. Now listen closely, to believe what is false. And that's where we mostly think. We think, well, you're going to believe a lie. But it also means to disbelieve what is true.
Yep.
And I believe that's the main point where we're going to be deceived in the last days.
Yep.
The truth shall be even evil spoken of.
Right.
Jeremiah said truth's falling in the street. Judgment's turned around backwards. Look at the time we're living in. I marvel at it, at the impossibility of finding the truth.
Right.
In matters of the world, you know, politics, science, money, you know, the financials. How do you find out the truth?
Right.
I don't know how you can find out the truth now. With the AI and the deep fakes and all the conspiracy theorists, theories. That's something that somebody thinks. It's not something that anybody knows.
Yep.
I've lived long enough to where the theory of an asteroid hitting Earth has now become a fact.
Yep.
Yeah. All this stuff. The theory of aliens from outer space has now become a fact. It's not a theory anymore. That's how it works. You listen to their theories, and then it morphs into facts in your mind.
Yep.
This is so. And they present it as truth, and they present it as facts when they have no evidence.
Amen.
And that's how you're deceived. You swallow the poison just a little bit at a time.
Yep.
Not one big gulp.
Right.
You get it a little bit at a time,
right,
until you're just, you can't think right anymore. And man, the churches are full of this now. It's a danger to all of us. We're exposed to too much. We're listening to too much. We're reading too much of the world. And ideas and theories and notions.
Yes, sir.
Because they received not the love of the true love. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 12. I'm going to read that here. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now y'all know the devil is a liar. That's his strong suit, his deception, deceiving. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. What will deceive you? Unrighteousness.
Right.
If you're lost, if you're not really born again, unrighteousness is going to deceive you. It's going to appear to be right.
Yep.
Somehow you're going to figure out that right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. Mm-hmm. And that's been going on since time began. You can read it in the Old Testament, the prophets, that's what they accused Israel of.
Right.
You're calling good evil and evil good. Is that what we got now?
Yep.
Yes, that's what we got now. If you don't consent and subscribe to the insanity of this world around us, then you're the kook, you're the nut,
right.
You're the hater,
right.
You're the fool. Truth is gone.
Right.
It's upside down. Because they received not the love of the truth. There's a lot of important words right there.
Yep.
They received not the love of the truth, but that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So there you go. Now, they didn't receive the love of the truth. The truth was bitter to them. How do you receive the truth right now, you, today,
right.
Each one of you? Is it bitter to you? I've heard a lot of people say the truth hurts. Well, I've never really experienced it that way. I'll be honest with you. The truth, like it rings a bell in my soul.
Amen.
And it makes me happy.
Right.
The truth. I don't say, oh no.
Yeah.
I don't like that. If you love the truth.
Amen.
If God lives in you, you love the truth.
Right.
Even a lost person that's in the darkness, I believe they recognize the truth when
yes,
they
sir.
Hear it. They just don't, receive the love of the truth. It's bitter to them. They think it's against them. They think it's going to take away from them. It's going to diminish them. It's going to take something from them that they want to cling to.
Right.
And that's how the attitude is toward it.
Yes.
Well, that man, that's where you're deceived.
Right.
What are you going to believe? What are you going to embrace? How are you going to set your compass in life if you won't receive the truth?
Right.
Well, you're going to believe a lie. And then you're going to base everything from that point on in your life on a lie.
Right.
Well, it won't hold up. I mean, and it'll take you to the wrong place. The safest place from deception in these last days is in the love of the truth.
Yep.
Love the truth.
Amen.
Well, what is truth? Well, they asked Jesus that. And Jesus said in John 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
You know, and the gospel is the truth.
Yes, sir.
Truth is like it's kind of like a atom or a solar system or a cell. You know, we were talking about it here a while back, and you think of the representation you always see of the solar system, the planets are always on an even plane circling around like a ring. It's not that way at all.
No,
they're going, it looks more like an atom than the representation we all are familiar with. Truth's like that.
Amen.
The gospel is the hub of all truth.
Amen.
And I know it's Terry here, but you ought to think about this and study about it. Everything springs from that. All truth springs from the gospel.
Amen.
So I try to tell young preachers at home, you know, I tell them, you know, you need to preach, stay real close to the gospel.
Amen.
And preach what you know
there. Amen.
That's the safest place for you.
Amen.
Don't be trying to philosophize and, you know, do all this with out there astounding people with new things. Stay close to the truth.
Amen.
That's what all this deception in the world is about. It's always like, shock and awe that we've discovered this and we've discovered that and we, you know, and it causes people to go, wow, I never knew that before.
Yeah.
And so it whets an appetite for them for more of that. And so they're reading all this nonsense on the internet and watching these videos. I guess the world's always been full of crazy people, but I'm telling you, We've got an excess right now of them. I'm telling you, the things people believe, I just can't believe that they, and it's not all those people out in the world, it's people sitting in church pews.
Right.
They're swallowing it.
Yep.
And it's a concern to me.
Amen.
That you be deceived in these last days with all the warnings that Jesus gave and all the warnings that are given in the New Testament. And we are in the last days, so we know this. And it's all right before us. AI, you know, this deal, it's a serious thing. That's the danger of it. Deception. Because people are already think that it's like something alive. That it has life. No, it doesn't have life. It's a creation of man with the devil's help. And people already have this inclination to believe whatever the AI says instead of what they already know or what God says particularly. They're easing everybody into it because if you mess with that any, you'll find out it'll tell you who Jesus is. It'll tell you how to be saved. I mean, it's pretty fascinating, but it's a liar.
Right.
You got to realize that. It's a tool of the devil to deceive mankind.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen too. And you better beware of it. In the church, this pressure is going to cause a lot of people to be deceived during these times. So how are people deceived? Have you ever been deceived? You ever bought a lemon car or truck? You ever bought one?
Yeah.
Well, one of my boys bought one here a while back. He bought him a truck. And I won't tell you all the details, but he just wanted a truck that cost so much. It was, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he didn't want to spend money on it. Well, didn't turn out that way at all. It wasn't what it appeared to be.
Yeah.
Wasn't what the guy said it was. Well, we've all had experiences like that, haven't we?
Yep.
Yes, sir. Have your children ever deceived you? Oh, yeah. We can go on and on. We're pretty easily deceived, really. And there's reasons for that. It's because we're selfish. We're kind of greedy. That's a good reason, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. But have you ever been deceived? Well, everybody in here would have to say, yep, I sure have. Well, how can we think ourselves above it now? How can you sit here this morning and think that, well, I know what I'm doing now. Fool me once, ha, 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 but fool me twice, Ain't going to fool me twice. How can you sit there and think that?
That's right.
Well, that's nonsense.
Yep.
I can be deceived. You can be deceived.
Yep.
And in a world of lies and fake everything, we're in real danger and peril of being deceived.
Yes, sir.
About many things.
Yes.
About everything in our life. The greatest danger is being deceived about God and salvation.
Yes.
Sin, your soul, your salvation.
Right.
That's the greatest danger.
Yes, sir.
But you can lose all of that, being deceived in all of that, by being deceived in some other little matter.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with little bits. About life. I'm talking about our life, our family, our home, how we live our life, how we think, how we work, what we live for, how we spend our money, how we do everything.
Right.
The world's got its philosophies about that and its ideas and advice for us about all that. it grieves me and troubles me that so many sit in churches that believe the Bible, believe in churches supposedly.
Yep.
But they take their counsel from the world.
Right.
And we got all these counselors, financial counselors, philosophical counselors, and they're worldly people. They may, so a lot of them put Christian on their name.
Right.
That's just to get you to listen to them.
Yep.
That's to make themselves acceptable to you.
Right.
This is an era of talk radio and talk to, and all it is a, news has turned into that. You got this panel of people all talking at the same time. I can't stand that. I won't listen to that. I just can't stand it. I really can't. But they all are sages. Everybody's a sage in our day. Everybody's got a YouTube channel or a TikTok channel, and they're offering their counsel on any subject you want to talk about.
Yes, sir.
And everybody's listening to it. People sit in church, don't read their Bible, don't pray, don't seek after God, and they sit and listen to that junk and then come to church on Sunday and the preacher preaches the Bible and they think he's crazy. And I'm not doing that. Well, you're not receiving the love of the truth.
Right.
Because you come to a Bible-believing church where the pastor loves you and loves God, he's preaching to you out of love. That bunch of wannabe sages on the internet are not telling you stuff out of love because they love you, because they want to help you. They're doing it to get more clicks so they can get more money.
There you go. Yep.
And besides that, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Basic thing of life. Quit listening to them. I'm telling you, it's a danger to your soul. It's a danger to your children.
Yes,
it's a danger to your home. Everything in your life is put in danger when you listen to them.
Amen.
They don't have anything you need to know, really. Listening, how are people deceived? Listening to the vain words of others. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words.
Yeah.
There you go. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. How are you led into deception? With vain words. Vain is empty, worthless, having no substance, no value, no importance. Light words, unsatisfying. Don't answer your questions. It don't settle your doubts. It don't give you clear instructions for life. Don't listen to that junk. I've listened to some in my life, and I, when I get done, I just think, what in the world? That didn't help me a bit. I still don't know what to do. Or I know that what they said will not work. They're all that way. You know, we use this stuff, like to work on cars and things like that. And I've had deals where I had to work on a car or something. Like, for example, my dad has this pickup, and it's a Chevrolet. Where's he at? But it's got a problem. That oil sensor has a screen in it, gets plugged up, then all of a sudden, every little bit, you know, every 2 or 3 years, why, it'll go to blinking lights and ringing bells and telling you ain't got no oil pressure. And so you got to reach back in there, and it's in an impossible place. And General Motors recommended procedure for it because I got a son-in-law who works at the dealer. You got to take the whole top off the motor, intake, manifold, and everything. Well, no, you don't. You don't have to do it that way. You know, you can find some Mexican on the internet that'll show you how to get it out of there without taking that intake off. I did. But I had to look for a long time because a lot of them will say, you do this, and then they don't show you that most critical part.
Yeah.
What to do. Well, that's a bunch of junk. Yeah. Why'd I sit here and listen for 10 minutes and then you're going to do that and I still can't do it?
Yeah.
I knew where it was and I knew that it was impossible to get to, but you say it can get out. Why don't you show me how to do it instead of leaving out the most important part?
Right.
See, God doesn't do us that way. Truth doesn't leave you in that condition.
Amen.
You don't leave things out.
Yep.
It's the light, you know, that lights our path. Shows us the way to go. It's the only way. We get deceived by vain words of others. A lot of preaching is that way nowadays. So-called preaching, it's vain words. It doesn't really do anything for us. Give us any kind of instruction. Give us any kind of knowledge. But I saw that you can lead a human to knowledge, but you can't make him think. Isn't that true? Your mind is stupefied and numb by listening to the light talk of others. It has no value and no substance and no importance. Radio talk shows. That's what I quit listening a long time ago. I get tired of their loud mouths saying nothing. Listen to them for hours and your ears are ringing. Your mind's just all jumbled. You don't know anything you didn't know before. And all you got's a bunch of loud music and loud noise in your mind. You don't need that. It's vanity. All entertainment is vanity. It's vain talk. Simply put your mind in neutral so you can be reprogrammed. In other words, deceived. While you're not thinking. Because amusement means to not think. Muse is to think. Amuse means no think. Your mind's turned off while they tell you what they want to tell you. While they take control of your mind, they're like remote controlling somebody else's computer screen. They got your mind, they're doing what they want, showing you what they want, putting into your thoughts what they want, while you're sitting there relaxing. Entertainment. It's a good place to get deceived.
Yep.
How much of it do we need? People don't like to just sit on the porch anymore and listen to the whippoorwills and the crickets. That's too boring. Too boring. Got to have some action. Somebody was telling me a while back about going on vacation. They were going to the mountains and there was somebody else was going to go with them. And they said, this other person, it wasn't working out because the other person looked at a vacation as something scheduled every day for every hour and run, and just have all the fun you can have and get in everything you can get in. And their idea of a vacation was to go sit on the bank of a lake somewhere with a fishing pole.
Right.
Or sit on the porch of the cabin and just sit there and rest.
Yeah.
But see, this world's not geared up for that, is it?
Right.
Used to be. I'm old enough to remember just sitting doing nothing. We didn't have but one channel on the TV, and half the time we had an old wooden TV, and it would go horizontal. Saying that's what I was telling you yesterday, Brother Shepherd. I know they're not even going to understand this, but you had a horizontal and a vertical control on a black and white TV, and it would go boop, and it just, you couldn't see nothing. It was just lines leaned over that way. Well, you could work a button. Well, that didn't work. What worked on ours, Dad would go up and kick it in the side like that. Bam! And it'd straighten up for a few minutes. He has a wooden cabinet. He kicked both sides of it in before it finally quit working. But we didn't, that wasn't no fun, sitting there watching that thing. We'd just go outside and catch lightning bugs. Well, it's a different world now, isn't it?
Yep.
We've got some grandchildren that live right there close to us, and I'm happy about the way they're being raised because they'd rather be outside catching lightning bugs and looking for worms and eating dirt and, all that stuff. They're just not interested in that thing too much. It's a good place to get deceived. It's vanity. Practically all that's on TV and media is vain talk.
Right.
It really is. Vain. Vanity. Meaningless. I don't know about y'all, but I just don't get much out of it.
Right.
Trying to sit and listen to them say nothing? Tell me nothing? Talk about stuff that is just so meaningless and stupid? I know that's a strong word, but it is. It just don't amount to nothing. Tell me something that amounts to something. About any Christian literature now is vanity. It's vain talk. They call it Christian fiction. What in the world is that? What is fiction? It ain't even a theory. It's just made up stuff. What is that? Lies.
Yep.
So we have a whole genre of Christian literature called Christian fiction.
Yeah.
And everybody's reading it. Christian romance novels. And a lot of immorality in all the churches.
Yes, sir.
Wonder how that's connected. It's connected.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Just about all the Christian radio and TV's vain talk, too. It just deceives. I ain't talking about y'all. Y'all got a good radio station. We don't have none up where we live.
Right.
They all play the junk music, and they have all the crazy preaching on there.
Yep.
We were on for 14 years, but we're not on anymore because I criticized the Pentecostals, and they're, so I had to get off. They didn't kick me off, but I just decided, man, no use fighting that fight. What we need is our own radio station.
Amen.
So while you listen to that vain talk, you put less importance on serious spiritual things,
right,
and you're deceived. See, a lot of people, most people, I'd say, don't think this is really that important this morning. It's just another preaching, just another service, just another time we got to put our time in and we got to listen to this. Very few people come to church anxious to hear something.
That's right.
Looking for something to help them.
Amen.
Get their bearings and make sure they're on course.
Yep.
Very few people live like that.
Yep.
Listening to the good words and the fair speeches of others, that's a way to be deceived. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now everybody's listening to the world too much. I tell everybody at home that you need to turn it off. You need to turn away from it.
Amen.
You need to quit listening to them people. You begin to give the admiration and respect that should go to God to those who are doing the talking. There's a lot of them out there, wise talkers of the world. There's these vain talkers, and then there's these wise talkers. And like I said, everybody's a sage now, and they want to give advice on intellectual things, and everybody admires an intellectual person. Hitler was intellectual.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yep.
Very much.
Yep.
Now, there's been a lot of intellectual devils,
yes,
on this earth. Some of them, I hate to use that word, but some of the cleverest.
Yep.
I mean, they were deceitful.
Yes.
Because they were deceived. And they believed the lie that they embraced.
Right.
We were talking at home the other day, and I heard you guys mention him yesterday, a fellow named Jordan Peterson. I bet he probably knows who I'm talking about. People told me about him. I listened to him a little bit, and I thought, oh my. You want me to tell you who the most dangerous deceivers are? It's people like him. He'll get real close.
Yep.
And he'll almost agree that the Bible's true, but he won't. He'll almost tell you he believes in God, but he won't. He'll make you think that he sympathizes with you or kind of agrees with you, and that he would if this and this, but he won't. And so you get this admiration for him, and you keep listening to what he says. And it is a hornet's nest for you to get into in deception. I mean, it'll swarm you before you know what's happened. It'll change something in you before you know that it's been changed in you. You need to be anchored and grounded in the truth. And you need to stay real close to the gospel, because that's where the hub of the truth is at. And that's the safest place to not be deceived. Everyone, you know, the good words, they say, and the fair speeches. That's what we just read in that verse there. Win your heart. And you're deceived into thinking that you can substitute these for loving and serving God. These smooth talkers, they'll always turn your heart against the people of God too.
Yep.
That's the mark of a deceiver or one who is deceived. He'll talk about God, but he won't identify with God himself. He keeps himself separate from God. And you get to thinking you can do the same thing. Man, that's the lie of the devil. He used it on me years ago. He's used it on so many. And I see him doing it right now. You can be saved but not be a part of that. You know? How many people do you know that say they're saved and they believe in God, but they don't believe in church. They won't go to church. Well, I'll just tell you straight up how I believe about that. And I believe the Bible will back it up. I mean, solid. If you don't love the church, you don't love God.
That's right.
And if you don't love God's people, you don't love God.
Right.
You are in darkness. The Bible is specifically plain about that. I know that when I got born again, I know how I felt about the people at church before, and I know how I felt about them after. And it was quite different, let me tell you. I didn't like them before. Afterward, I loved them, and I always have since then. Because they're perfect, because they're so kind and good. Not always.
Right.
No, not always. They're just, I've had trouble in church too,
sure.
Just like most everybody else has. But it didn't make me turn against the church or the people of God and say, I don't need this. I can serve God without this. You can't serve God without the church.
Right.
You can't. And you need God's people. You must. God puts you in the church if you're born again.
Amen.
People deceive themselves. Their heart is so willing and ready to be deceived that they'll do it themselves if somebody isn't there to do it for them. You'll lie to yourself if there's nobody there to lie to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lie to yourself and believe it. Now, isn't that something? Would you think these transgenders are maybe like that?
Oh, yeah.
And all the other craziness going on? Well, of course. But don't be so hard on them and so easy on the people in church to do the same thing.
Right. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And then in verse 19 it says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. If a person thinks himself to be something when he's not, he's deceived himself. Now the Bible's telling us that.
Right.
And everyone wants others to think that they're intelligent and knowledgeable. You can make a fool of yourself quicker that way than any other way, trying to pretend that you know when you don't know.
Yep.
You're better off to just say, I don't know. I got a little granddaughter, and that's her thing. I don't know. I mean, she said that, and she's a little bitty and able to talk. I don't know. She does know. She's learned to use that for a cover. But it's better for us if we just say, I don't know.
Right.
Instead of trying to pretend that we do know when we don't know.
Right.
Pretend that we're some spiritual person when we're really not. Better not be a fake. Just be real.
Amen.
That's another message there. But anyway, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He don't deceive everybody else. He just deceives himself.
Right.
Everybody else kind of recognizes it. You don't have to be around somebody very long till you can kind of get a ping on them. I mean, you kind of discern, I don't know, what you figure them out. I have people come to buy lumber from me all the time and stuff. And you know, that's just the thing. You got to take the first minute or two to kind of size them up and see what you're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're good people. Sometimes they're nutty people. Sometimes they're just mean people. And, you know, you got to get your bearings so you know what you're dealing with. Do you know people do that with you?
Right.
I mean, we
got
to think about that.
Right.
Everybody does that with me too.
Yep.
They size me up. So I better just be real.
Amen.
That's the safest thing to do. Just be real. Don't try to lie and deceive them. Everybody talks too much. Say, everybody? Well, I don't know. Some people don't talk a whole lot. Most people talk too much.
Yes, sir.
Just talk too much. I've learned to, my mother always told me, she said, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
She really burned that into me. Because she thought I talked too much, I guess. But it's not just profanity or criticism or negative things. Everybody just talks too much.
Yep.
It's hard to get a word in edgewise sometimes. And I'm pointing at herself. You know, you ought to come to our house on Sunday afternoon. Don't come to talk because you ain't going to get a talk. There ain't no openings there. Everybody's got something to say. Everybody's got something to tell. And they can talk about nonsense and vanity and what they did yesterday and what they're going to do this week and all that. Or you can get the subject on to spiritual things and then everybody's got something put in there too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's a little off the bubble. Because the younger you are, the less of the pieces of the puzzle you have. And you just can't put it all together like it needs to be. Again, I watch your little grandkids. They got these little jigsaw puzzles, and they'll dump them out, and they'll put them all together. And they're getting better at it all the time, faster. But the littler ones, they want to put a piece there. It doesn't matter if it fits or not. You can say that don't go there. They just keep, you know, they're going to make it fit there. And that's the way people do with knowledge and understanding.
Right.
And especially in spiritual things.
Yep.
Men are deceived because they love unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, we read that verse at the beginning. If you love the things of the world, you've been deceived. Well, boy, nobody said amen to that. Love the things of the world.
Yeah.
Do you? How tightly are you holding on to all those things? Why do we have to live so long and go through so much before we realize that after we die, somebody's going to take all of our stuff and throw it in a dumpster?
Yeah.
Or they're going to divide it up among themselves what they want, or put it in a yard sale, or take it down to the, you know, the mission place where they give everything away. Things of the world.
That's true.
What difference does it make? How important are they?
Amen.
Zero. They're of zero value and importance. And if we put that importance on it, that they have the affection of our heart, then we have believed a lie. Because it's temporal.
Right.
If we will not accept with our whole heart the truth, then we've been deceived.
Yep.
And we're one of those that Jesus is talking about in those last days. Why do people have such a hard time believing the truth? You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, the truth. We can say, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Everybody will say, okay, I agree with that. Unless there's some kind of Buddhist or Muslim or something like that. They'll have trouble with that. But everybody. But then when you go to preaching about righteousness and conforming to the image of His Son and all that, there's where we run into a lot of, well, now I just don't see it that way, and I don't believe that, and I just come around, even though the Bible says it plainly, and it's easily shown with the Bible.
Right.
Why argue with righteousness when righteousness is so obvious what it is?
Right.
How can you defend wickedness and evil when it's so obvious what it is?
Right.
And confuse the two. Well, it's because you won't receive the love of the truth and you won't receive the whole truth.
Right.
You know, I just believe it was that way with me, but I believe it's that way with everybody, that when you're born again, immediately there's this desire to do right.
Yes.
And to be right with God.
Yes, sir.
And I've had these people all through the years say, well, now God just not convicted me about that, even though the Bible says, thou shalt not. And they said, well, God hadn't told me that yet. Well, look here, read it right now. That's a bunch of nonsense. God hadn't convicted me about it. That's not how this deal works.
Right.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And as soon as you find out about it, you're going to either say yay or nay.
Right.
All these people don't believe we have a choice about anything. Ain't that something? You do have a choice, don't you?
Sure.
You can say yay or nay to God or the devil.
Yep.
Or to your own self.
Yep.
Or to the world. You got your choice. And you must decide.
Yes, sir.
So, even if we begin to think that people who live in continual sin are going to heaven, we've been deceived. Because listen to this. You say, that's your thinking. No, here, look here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Now, is everybody listening? Because this ain't me talking. This is the Word of God. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, what does that mean right there? Doeth. Well, I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means there's no such thing as you being righteous on the books in heaven while you're living wicked here in real life on the earth. You're not righteous in heaven if you're not righteous here on earth.
Yep.
And if you're righteous here on earth, it'll show forth in your works.
Right. Yep.
So don't let nobody deceive you about that, he said. They're going to try to deceive you about that. They're going to tell you that you can be right with God, but still just be living in continual habitual sin. And you can't help it. They warned us. The people are going to say that.
Right.
Now they're saying it and everybody believes it. And for me to stand up here and say, no, look at here.
Right.
Sounds crazy to you. He that committeth sin is of the devil.
Yep.
That committeth is a present progressive. He that is living in continual habitual sin.
Right.
He that is living in sin.
Yep.
And won't repent.
Yep.
He's of the devil.
Yep.
Not of God. It doesn't matter if he's been baptized 100 times.
Amen.
And every Baptist preacher in Kentucky says he's saved as Apostle Paul. He ain't. Not according to the Word of God.
Amen.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Not only that, but listen to this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Again, that's talking about continual sin. That's not saying that a Christian can't sin at all.
Right.
But it means he's not going to live in continual habitual sin.
Right.
How could I? I've never been able to do that.
Right.
I can't even think in that realm.
Right.
A dog returns to his vomit. And a hog returns to his wallowing in the mire.
Yep.
But not a child of God.
Right.
In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. See, how does anybody have trouble understanding that King James English right there? No, I don't think so. I think I could read it to these little children, and I think they would understand what that's saying right there. This is how you know the difference.
Amen.
Don't be deceived in this matter.
Amen.
Don't deceive yourself. Don't think you can be living in wickedness, secretly or openly,
Yep. Whatever,
any way, and that you're still saved on your way to heaven. You're not. Don't let somebody deceive you, the Bible says. And yet many are deceiving themselves.
Yes, sir.
And everybody will back them up and say, well, now I was there when they got saved. I know people that I've went to church with who have children who are sodomites. And they still think that they're saved and on their way to heaven because they got saved when they was 4 years old, and baptized. Well, if that's what a Baptist is, well, that's not what a Baptist is.
No.
That's what a lot of them are practicing now, but
right.
It's not the truth.
Right.
Marks of a deceived person. They're absolutely sure they're right. And will not be talked into even considering examining themselves to see if they be in the faith. We got to guard against that too.
Oh, yeah.
I tell our folks at home, don't ever get to the place where you're not willing to examine yourself.
That's right.
And examine what you believe. It's all on the table. I mean, if it's true, it'll stand.
Right.
If it's not true, then we need to do something about this.
Right.
But you know how few people there are that are really like that, are willing to do that? They get plugged in, they get... into, you know, like we had a family come to our church, and there's good people, and we loved them, and they love us. But the first churches that he got involved in when he first got saved were Calvinist churches, and that's in him. And I'm not a Calvinist, and he has big problems with my preaching.
Right.
Not me. He loves me.
Yeah.
But he just can't, instead of examining himself and looking at the Word of God and listening to what I try to tell him about the truth and considering it. No, I ain't no even considering it. And some other issues, you know. And I offered to supply material. Read this, and think about this. And this will explain some things to you. No, no. No, they just decided it'd be better just leave a church and go somewhere else. Find a church that would... See, most people don't want the truth. What they want is somebody to be that'll continually assure them that what they believe is true.
Right.
That's what most people want.
Right.
So they find a church that'll fit them.
Yep.
Instead of seeking to conform themselves to the image of God,
right.
You know, to God and His doctrine. Their reasons, their arguments, their opinions are not based soundly on the Scriptures, but on their feelings and experiences, or on the opinions and experiences of others. I've never met anybody like that that didn't, when you whittled everything down, I'm searching for the word, but they counted, I mean, they fell back on a man, you know, who taught them. Or some wise man from the past who said this, and he's a lot wiser than you, aren't he? You got to do that in order to hold your ground when you're cornered.
Yep.
They'll take the side of sinners and sin against the righteous.
Yep.
That is a red flag.
Yes, sir.
He that condemneth the just and he that justifieth the wicked, even they both are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Better be on the right side. Their ear and their heart's not tuned to the truth, and they have no interest in it. And it has no effect on them except to make them angry when it's forced upon them. And they're more in tune with the world than with God's Word. Their opinions and their pleasures and their attention is more on the world and with the world than on God and His Word and eternity. And it's like I said to you there at the beginning, you know, I can tell when they're listening to the world because they start looking like the world.
Right.
Little bit at a time. They start modifying their dress, their hair, their appearance, their language. I hate the worldly slang and talk because that's identifying with the world.
Yep.
That shows me that you've been listening to them.
Yep.
All these... I talked about it at home and I called it the wrong thing, but you know what a minced oath is? A minced oath is when you take a profanity and you change one or two letters in it and go ahead and say it.
Uh-huh.
It's everywhere. It's getting more abominable all the time.
Yes, sir.
You might as well go ahead and say the word.
Yep.
Whatever, that's the word everybody thinks of when you say it.
Right.
And I hear Christian young people, older people. I even hear older people saying these words.
Right.
They're minced oaths.
Yep.
Christian cussing.
Yep.
Why do we need? Why would we do that? You wouldn't unless you're listening to them do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
They're more in fellowship with the world's crowd than they are with God's crowd. When you're deceived, you're more in fellowship with the world than you are with God's people. And if you talk to them, they have nothing but criticism and degrading remarks for God's people, but nothing but praise for the worldly crowd. That person's deceived. To be deceived, your soul, about your soul is a very costly thing.
Yes.
It means you're headed for a devil's hell. It means that although you're fully convinced you're going to heaven when you die, you're heading in the opposite direction.
Right.
And it means that while you're deceived, you're also deceiving other people.
Yep.
And they'll be lost because of you. Times when you're more likely to be deceived in temptation. Every sin begins with a lie.
Right.
Every sin begins with us believing a lie.
Yep.
It begins when a lie is presented to us as truth. and we accept it as truth. And in doing so, we reject the truth.
Right.
Go back to the garden. I mean, I go back there so often,
yes,
but that's exactly, that's where you see how this thing works.
Right.
God said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die.
Yep.
The devil said, you shall not surely die.
Right.
What did she do? She took the devil's word above God's word.
Yep. Right.
She believed a lie. So in temptation, that's where we're most likely to be deceived.
Yep.
So when the devil comes, the tempter comes, making suggestions to you.
Yep.
That's when you're most likely to believe
yep.
a lie, because you're considering, you're comparing, and your heart's involved, and your desires and lust are involved, and let me see here. Another place. Discouragement. Disappointment. That's a place where we can be deceived. Because we're grasping. We're grasping for something to get a hold of. When we're discouraged. When we're disappointed. When things haven't went like we thought they would. We go to grabbing for something to hold on to. And if you're not careful, you'll grab on to something that's not real. When we're in need. You know, don't... He prayed to give me neither riches nor poverty. You know, lest I be poor and steal.
Yeah.
Or lest I, you know, be rich and forget God.
That's right.
These extremes of things in life when our emotions and our heart is discouraged and in need or in prosperity. When we just got all we need.
Yep.
I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, eat your fill. When we're angry, that's a good time to be deceived. When we're grieved, that's a prime time for us to be deceived.
Yes, sir.
I've seen a lot of people deceived about God when they were in grief.
Yes, sir.
Why did God let this happen? Well, who's asking those questions? Who is suggesting those questions in your mind? Why'd God do this to me? Why'd God let this happen to me? If God loves me, how could He? Who's saying that?
Right.
Well, it's not God. It's not the Holy Ghost of God.
That's right.
When you're grieved, when you're disappointed, when you're discouraged, when you're in need, the Holy Ghost of God is the comforter.
Yes.
He's the one that comes to you.
Amen.
Been preaching on the temptation of Christ, you know, and He took Him up on that high pinnacle of the temple. And I told the folks, I said, you know whose voice it is, because the Holy Ghost wouldn't have said, he wouldn't have said to him, jump.
Yeah.
The devil did.
Right.
The devil said, go ahead and jump.
Yep.
God wouldn't say that to you.
Right.
You might as well be dead. No, the Spirit of God comforts you. But the thing about it is, you have to wait on God. The devil will be right there immediately. Wait on the Lord. I say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart.
Right.
But you got to wait on Him.
Amen.
Sometimes He's right there at hand. Sometimes he tarries. In His wisdom, He knows what's best. And in due time, He will comfort us. He
Amen.
Will help us.
Yes.
But we got to wait. So don't count that first voice, that first suggestion in your mind as, I mean, recognize him,
right.
The devil. He's the liar. He's the deceiver. And these are the times we can be deceived. All right, now real quick. We can be deceived in our mind, and that's through information that we take in.
Yep.
What we listen to, what we read, what we look to, what we hear. All these gates to our mind, the data that we take in. We can be deceived that way because we can believe false stuff. Yeah, that you're going to read more lies than truth on the internet. You're going to hear more lies than truth through all the entertainment industry. You got to sort through it diligently. You got to try and test and filter everything that comes into your mind, whether it be true or not.
Amen.
And you got to compare it with truth, not with other lies, to figure out if it's true or not. Here's the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The only way we're going to be sanctified, set apart, purified in this evil time is to stay in the word of God.
Amen.
Stay right around the hub of the truth. Stay close in orbit right there around the hub of the truth. You get away from that very far and you're in danger. The farther you get away from it, the more danger you're in. You get to be a philosophical Christian, you're in danger of being deceived. Grave danger of being deceived. And then we can be deceived in our heart. That's our affections and our feelings and emotions and all of that. We can be deceived through that avenue. I was telling him yesterday, my son preached last Sunday in Sunday school out of Psalm 37. And he talked about, the Bible talks about their truth and delight and commitment. And, you know, he brought out the fact that relationships are developed that way and in that order. And when we get them all upside down, that's when we get in trouble.
Yep.
We need to establish truthfulness first.
Yep.
And then delight. And then commit.
Yep.
You know, you get getting married. Somebody talking about getting married here and things like that. All relationships. Our relationship with God begins that way. We hear the truth.
Yep.
The truth makes us free.
Yep.
We learn and we believe and embrace the fact that God is trustworthy.
Amen.
And then we begin to delight in God.
Right.
We fall in love with God.
Yep.
And then we commit to God.
Amen.
But see, the way that human relationships, especially this courtship and everything works, first you delight in them.
Yeah.
And then you commit to them. Mm-hmm. And then you find out the truth. Well, that's really, you just think about that. It's got to be done in the right order. Hold on. But see, that's deceit is what that is. You left out the truth. You put it last.
Right.
And you put other things first. Self.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to let the devil deceive you in these last days, are you? You better make that one of the resolutions of your life. One of the important issues of your life. What you listen to. Who you esteem. You know, right here's the... Everything needs to be tested by this. I don't mind at all for people to test what I say against this.
Right.
And I tell everybody at home, you know, look for it. Look at it yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't see it that way, you tell me.
Yep.
I'm willing to look at it and see if I've been deceived.
Right.
But we got right here is the final authority. I'm not. Nobody else here is. But where are we going to go to find the truth?
Yep.
There's no other place than right here.
Amen.
And so that's where we're going to, that's the only way that we're going to be safe from being deceived in these last days.
Amen.
And just think of the gravity of this matter. If I'm deceived and people listen to me preach, they're deceived also.
Right.
My children will be deceived.
Yep.
If mother's deceived, your children are going to be deceived. And what is that next generation going to be? I mean, all is lost if we turn loose of the truth. If we handle the truth loosely and lightly, all is lost.
Right.
It's just so important. Be careful who you listen to and who you, those fountains you drink from, be very careful.
Yep.
You just don't want to drink toxic stuff.
Amen.
It may be sweet to your taste, but it'll be bitter in your stomach. And it'll be bitter down the road. Be careful. Believe the truth. Avoid the lies. Even in little matters. I've told my kids, you know, with the grandchildren, you better, number one priority about them is you better not tolerate lies in the least little amount. And when I mean, as soon as that little tongue starts uttering lies, you better deal with it. I mean, with a heavy hand.
Amen.
Because their soul is at stake. And not only theirs, but countless others with their life also.
Right.
Don't tolerate a lie.
Amen.
In them. The truth, the truth.
Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the assurance we have of its verity.
Yes.
That we can trust it. And Lord, we've got an anchor that we can always hold on to in this world that's swimming in lies and deceit and falsehoods and every direction. Please help us. Help these folks here. Help our folks at home. Help all your people in these days of deceit in this evil world to stand with the truth and not waver and not be double-minded, but have their eyes single and just walking in truth. Lord, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak your word, and I pray that it be received in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Shepherd. I'll let you...